1954 Time by Claire McCormick.
10 minutes left, the kid stop on the computer reminds me. There is never enough time, not enough hours in the day. Oh, what it was to be blissfully unaware of time passing when you lived in the moment. Your hunger was answered by food, and sleep had to take you unawares. The world moved around you. You peeped over tabletops and played on the shiny line of floor with Raggedy Ann doll, yellow china cups and a blue dresser. Once upon a time, you climbed on the door to peep out the letterbox and the wind stung your eyes. There was the rust veranda stairs and through the railings you could see the big ash bins and would get the first glimpse of Father coming around the end of the block. He would peep in the letterbox before opening the door. Sometimes he would bring a fries crunchy or a bar of fries chocolate. In an empty cardboard carton, you'd rock to Papa Piccolino on the radio and suck your thumb. Walking along the bottom road to the shop would excite you, past the turf yard where turf would be piled high to O'Donnell's for groceries. Once Mother took you to Purcell's where she bought you a grey and blue skirt, a jumper and shiny shoes. Then to Dobbin's on the hill, where crates of milk were stacked outside the shop. Noisy children climbed back and forth through the railings from the blocks of houses. Then on up the hill to the jigsaw shop, Farrell's. You got to choose one. It's one of a dancing girl with interchangeable dresses. Back outside there is a strange burning smell. You see smoke billowing. It's on fire, look. O'Donnell's shop is blazing. You hear a woman tell Mother he was up on the roof painting it only yesterday. You squint hard at the flames to see the man on the roof. Back home, women are hastily taking clothes from the clotheslines behind the block. No, thank you, Mother says later when she is offered blackened pots of jam. Days are long, and most nights sleep finds you before Cinderella gets to try on the shoe. The Curragh camp is on three levels, the top road, the bottom road and the middle road. You lived in James Connolly block between the bottom and the middle road. You were taken on long walks under leafy chestnut trees. Sometimes you bring home a blossom. One day Father takes you walking up Lord Edward Hill to get rainwater from the big round water tank on the square for Mother to wash her hair. On sunny days you were allowed outside to play with two companions, Teresa Kavanagh and Margie Doyle. You wore Margie's red coat and leggings when you travelled on the motorbike, sandwiched between Mother and Father on trips to visit grandparents in Ballytor. The hum of the engine always sent you asleep. You remember always passing through what you later came to know as Calverstown. The resounding echo of the engine in your ears changed its tune, passing over the little bridge. It was a landmark that told you you were halfway to Ballytor. One dark night travelling home, Father stopped the motorbike on the top of the wood hill near Narramore. "Look, Claire, there's home," he shouted above the engine noise. In the far distance you see a necklace of lights. Now, on dark nights, when you're driving home alone, you recreate that moment and smell Father's waterproof coat. When baby brother was born, you travelled on the tank, sitting in front of Father, and baby took your place, a small parcel locked in by Mother's hands in Father's belt. There was knitting, click, click, click. Then knock, knock, knock. Hide, hide, shush. Mother shushes you. You crawl under the table. The chimney sweeper has to go away. Mother won't have to clear up soot today. What a bright girl you are, Father tells you when you find the piece of puzzle he has described so clearly. You believe him. Night terrors, afraid to go to sleep. Father tells you a story every night. Sometimes he repeats the children's hour story. Cinderella, you insist. Your mantra was, you don't go asleep until I go asleep. He lies on the bed until you drop off. Sunny days run together until you turn 6. Now it's time, time for school.